Blog Talk Radio.
Thank you.
God. Praise the Lord. God bless you. Welcome again. Welcome again. This is Apostle Flowers. You're tuned in to Kingdom Builders International Block Talk Radio. Thank God for internet listeners, landline listeners, cell phone listeners. This is the first Monday of the month where I am on Restore Paths to Dwell In. Again, this is Apostle Flowers. Thank you for tuning in. I'm on every first and third Mondays of the month. And I thank God for those of you that are listening on tonight, even first-time listeners that are tuning in and listening to this broadcast, you are in for a treat on tonight. You're going to be blessed on tonight. You're going to be strengthened, encouraged. I don't know about you. The song you just heard, it should have got you stirred up. It should just cause a fire to begin to burn in your life. If you listen to the words of that song, it talks about all I want to do is to abide in your presence, to abide in your glory, to do your bidding. And that's what we were created for. We were created to worship God. We were created to be in fellowship with him. But because of the fall of man, because of what Adam did and giving up our, you know, giving up his authority, which caused us, man, to, you know, be in a fallen state. And so we thank God for Jesus Christ, God who gave his only begotten son for us so that we can be restored again and that we can walk in authority again. And when God created us from the beginning, that's all he wanted was a family. All he wanted was fellowship with him, someone, you know, to share with us. It's the same thing now. You know, when you look at you as a born-again believer, you one in the kingdom, all God want to do is to share his blessings with you. A lot of times we think that God comes to do us harm, and that's why God told Jeremiah that let the people know that my thoughts towards you are of good, not of evil, because I have a good and expected end for you. A lot of times we go through life experiencing traumatic things, negative things that have happened in our life, divorces, families, you know, just going through in the family, you know, runaway child, that daughter ran away from home, that son in jail, drugs, alcohol, whatever background that you have come from, you experienced some kind of traumatic event, some kind of, as you say, negative or not so good experience in your life. But Jesus Christ came that we might have life and have it more abundantly. And all we have to do is choose. He gives us a choice. He don't force us to serve him. He don't force us to do his will. He looks for us to do it, to serve him willingly. That's why he done away with, you know, sacrifices of animals and bullocks and all these various things. You know, the priest going, bringing, you know, sin offering before the Lord on behalf of the people. And song God's like, you know, no more of that, because they were just only going with the motions and their heart was not in it. So God said that he's going to begin to write his law, his commandments upon the hearts of his people. He said, I shall be your God, and you shall be my people. And God is requiring us to follow after him and to serve him and to present our bodies, according to Romans 12, in 1, a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable, which is our reasonable service. That's what God is looking for, a living sacrifice. He said, that's all I'm doing. I'm not requiring much of you. All I'm just requiring that you love me. All I'm just requiring that you fellowship with me. All I'm just requiring that you commune with me. God could have required us to give him 6 days a week, and on the 7 day we work. He could have did it that way, but he didn't do that. He just said, let the 7 day be mine, sanctify it, let it be the Sabbath. Let that be the day that, you know, of rest, and that you honor and that you worship me. And it could have been the other way around, but he didn't. And look at what kind of God that we serve. And God don't ask much of us. The Word of God says, is there anything too hard for God? No, there's nothing too hard for God, because of us not knowing or not being brought up in the Word of God, or some of us may have been brought up in the church and brought up in the things of God, but we didn't have a relationship with the Lord. I was one of those that was brought up in church, brought up religiously, but I didn't have a relationship with God. I was not taught relationship with him. So I didn't know what it was to really to have faith. I didn't know what it was to really to believe God. Only time that my faith somewhat kind of kicked in was when I was in trouble. I got myself in a pickle. got myself in some mess and some kind of trouble, and I needed God to deliver me, to get me out. If I didn't know anything else, all I knew was Jesus helped me, Jesus saved me, the blood of Jesus. And right when the Lord would get me out of that situation that I was in, because of his mercy, because of his grace, then I'd be delivered out of it, and I'd go right back because of my sin nature, because I was not born again. I was truly not born again. I truly did not know what it was to have a relationship with the Lord. Even though, you know, I was under attack as a young child by demonic spirits, demonic forces. Yes, demons are real. These things are real. Some religious churches don't want you to talk about demons and devils and so on. He's talking about you conjuring them up and all that. That's the thing of the enemy. He wants you to believe that he don't exist. He wants the world to believe that he doesn't exist. That's what he's deceiving the world with, that he does not exist. And he's trying to do the same thing in the church. And as the word of God, I believe in Hosea, said that God said, my people perish because of lack of knowledge. That's how we perish. Some people in the world will say that what you don't know won't hurt you. Yes, what you don't know will hurt you and can kill you, because some people have left here prematurely because of what they did not know. They end up chucking up out of here. So it is good to be informed. It's good to know, and it's good to know through the word of God what we're up against. Paul began to say, be not ignorant of Satan's devices. So we cannot be ignorant of the enemy's devices. So we got to be aware of what the enemy is trying to do. Out here and to families, you can see it every day what he's doing to family, destroying marriages, how he's destroying families and homes, how, again, as you heard me say earlier, how you see loved ones. I know many of you can attest for yourselves that there's somebody in the family that is strung out on drugs, that is strung out on alcohol, that that's bound by something, some kind of addiction, whether it's a pornography or something going on in their life, whether they're homosexuals or whether they're lesbian, I'm operating out of that. They're bound by something that the enemy got them by. And so you can just take inventory of your family. Look in your family. Look in your generation line. Is there a history of divorces? Is there a history of babies being born out of wedlock? Is there a history of deaths in your family at a certain age? Is there a history of illnesses, conditions, or sicknesses, or diseases, heart problems, or an issue of cancer in the family? Is there an issue? Just take inventory. This will tell you right there that the enemy is real. Sickness is not of God. Diseases is not of God. This comes from the enemy. And so when you go to the doctor's office and notice, you feel like the doctor's supposed to know your problem and what's going on with you physically. They should be able to diagnose you and be able to tell you what's going on with you. Notice when you go in for it to see the doctor, you got something going on in your physical body. The doctor say, okay, what brings you in to the office today? And notice he began to ask your history. Notice they begin to have you to fill out your history. The history of a heart problem that your grandmother, grandfather have. Diabetes, this or that, they ask you all these kind of questions. You check it off, yes. And so basically you're giving them, as you say, the answers of what's going on with you. So this is how they come up with their diagnosis. So, okay, well, generally if your grandmother had it, or your grandfather had it, or if your mother had it, or your father had it, most likely you're going to get it because of genetics. You're genetically inheriting this trait, this in your physical body. So that's how they come up. That's why they call practitioners. They're practicing. They're still practicing. So they really don't know. So notice, again, when you see practicing medicine, practicing, what does practice mean? Look at it. When a person, think about it, when a person is on a football team or something, they call for practice. They have to practice to get prepared, to get ready for the big game when they're about to challenge the opposing team, and so on. So it's like the same thing in the medical field. They're practicing. They're still practicing medicine. They're still learning about the human anatomy, the human body, and so on. So it's the same thing when it comes to the things of God. We are yet practicing, you know, walking out the word of God until we come into perfection. And it's the same thing when it comes to our faith, that we're exercising, we're practicing, we're standing on the utilizing the word of God, so that when it comes to, as you say, the test, when we stand up against, when storms begin to come our way and trials and tribulations begin to take place in our life, when we get that pink slip at the workplace. Why? Because we've been practicing concerning our faith, building our faith, then it won't be nothing, won't be anything when something comes, when some negative report come our way, you're going to just take it with stride. You're not going to let it affect you. Why? Because your faith is not in this world. Your faith is in the Word of God, and your faith is in God. You see, let me tell you this. Is that God has planned something far better for people of faith than the world has to offer. You hear that? God has a better plan for you, the people of faith, than those that are in the world that which they have to offer. God has a better plan. That's what I'm saying. But before I go further, I just want to open up with some prayer. Father, we thank you. We praise you. We bless you, God. We adore you. Lord, we give you the glory, the honor, and the praise on tonight. Father, I pray that you will begin to supernaturally move in the midst of your people. Father, I release the anointing that breaks and destroys the yokes. Lord, whatever your people may be going through, whatever may be ailing them, God, in the name of Jesus. Father, I thank you, Lord God, for deliverance being stirred up on tonight. Father, I thank you, Lord God, for healing being released on tonight. God, those that may be going through physically in their bodies, God, I'm dealing with issues, dealing with infirmities in their body. God, I declare and decree healing on tonight in the name of Jesus. I command every spirit of infirmity to loose them right now in the name of Jesus. I declare and decree miracle healings take place in their physical body. Those that are listening under the sound of my voice, in the name of Jesus, I command bloodline curses right now to be broken, generational curses to be broken concerning sicknesses and diseases within the bloodline, because according to Galatians 3:13, Jesus was made a curse for you. In the name of Jesus, he has redeemed you from the sin of the curse. In the name of Jesus, you need to receive that right now. You need to stand on that right now, because even though you may be experiencing the symptoms, you don't have to receive it. You don't have to receive heart trouble. You don't have to receive cancer. You don't have to receive what the enemy is trying to put on your physical body, because your mother may have had it, your father may have had it, or your generation before you may have had it. You don't have to receive it, because you have been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, and by Jesus' stripes you are healed. And Father, we thank you. We praise you, Lord God. I pray even on tonight, let revelation knowledge be released, God, in the name of Jesus, according to Ephesians, God, 1:17-18. I pray, oh God, give us the spirit of wisdom and understanding, the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of you, and let the eyes of our understanding be enlightened on tonight in the name of Jesus. Lord, work my mouth, speak through me, Lord, the oracles of God, because, Lord, I can do nothing without you. Lord, I yield myself and I humble myself before you, and I ask, Lord, that you give me a right now word for the people of God, a word that will encourage the people of God, a word that will ignite the fire on the inside of the people of God, a word that will stir up the gifts on the inside of the people of God, a word that would charge the mantles upon their life, God, a word that would cause that man of God that got discouraged in his ministry, that woman of God that got discouraged in her ministry, that pastor, that leader, to be stirred up again, to be able to move forward again in momentum in the name of Jesus. Father, and I know that this is the time of transition, that your people are experiencing transition in their lives in the name of Jesus. Father, I pray, Lord, that they would not be weary in well-doing. Father, that they will reap the harvest if they faint not. I come against weariness in the name of Jesus. I come against that spirit that will cause them to faint. And Lord, I loose a supernatural strength upon them on tonight in the name of Jesus. And Father, I thank you for clarity and answers, God. Let them receive the clarity and the answers that they've been looking for on tonight. And Lord, we repent right now for the omissions and the commissions of our sins, God, in the name of Jesus. We don't want anything to hinder our prayers. We don't want anything to hinder, God, what you have for us in our life. So we renounce everything that is not of you, God, that was against you, that have offended you, Lord, in the name of Jesus. We repent of any unforgiveness, any bitterness, God. We choose to forgive and we choose to walk in love. Lord, help us, God, in the name of Jesus, have mercy upon us, Lord. Have mercy upon the body of Christ. In the name of Jesus, have mercy upon the people of God. In the name of Jesus, and in this hour that we're in, Lord, help us, Lord God, to pray for those that are in authority, God, those that have the rule over us, God, to pray for our president, God, to pray, continue to pray for this nation, God, and not to lose our hope, God, and to continue to believe you, God, in the name of Jesus, concerning this administration, Lord. And, Lord, let us continue to pray for Israel. We pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Lord, you say, pray for the peace of Jerusalem. We pray for the peace of Jerusalem on tonight, God, in the name of Jesus. We pray that you continue to look upon them, God, even in your word, declare that Michael, the archangel, is watching over Israel, is the protector over Israel. In the name of Jesus, let him continue to guard and protect God and keep Israel. And what's going on in Israel is what's happening with the church in the spirit. What's going on with them in the natural is what's taking place in the spirit concerning the people of God. All we have to do is watch and see what's going on with Israel, and then we know what's going on with the church. But we know that this is a great time for the church, the greatest hour for the church, and this is the time and hour that you're pouring out your spirit upon all flesh to those that are open to receive from you. Lord, this is the time we know that you're releasing your fire upon the people of God, upon those that are of the kingdom. And Lord, we thank you and we praise you. We come against backlash, retaliation of the enemy. In Jesus' mighty name, thank God, amen and amen. Well, bless God, people of God. I thank God for you. I pray that you receive that prayer on tonight and that God is doing some things. Again, I'd like for you just to share with us, Kingdom Builders International, you know, the broadcast that you're listening to. Restore Pastor Dwell in your testimony, your praise report of how this broadcast has been a blessing to you. We need to hear your testimonies. We need to hear what the Lord has done for you. But I want to get right into the Word of God on tonight. I thank God for Evangelist Hannah and her, what she's doing, the work behind the scene, and also Prophetess Teresa, the founder of Kingdom Builders International, and the work that she's doing, and those that are working behind the scenes and intercessing, all those that are praying for you and interceding for you on a daily basis, 5 o'clock in the morning, praying and interceding for you, the people of God, that you receive your breakthroughs, your miracles, and they're sacrificing for you and on your behalf, that God will begin to turn things around in your favor. And when you seem to be getting weak in your faith, that someone will have faith for you to believe God for you, and that your faith will be strong, and that you'll be able to stand through the midst of adversity. Amen. And I truly want to acknowledge my wife. Thank God for my wife who have that moved into the apostolic ministry as well. We're like twins in the ministry. We do team ministry together. Thank God for my wife, Apostle Angel Flowers, as well on tonight, and our children, and what God's doing even in our life. And I'm just excited. I don't know about you. I know the enemy has been trying to do things to try to discourage the people of God. I know we have been through some transitions and different things in our life, and we're just going where God has taken us. We know that it is something great. We know that God has promised, and that's what I'm here to encourage you on tonight concerning the promises of God. And even as you be encouraged on tonight, because I want you to know that true faith requires action. You hear that? True faith requires action. And so there are some things that you're going to have to do in order for God to begin to move in your life. I know sometimes we receive words in our life, or sometimes we sit back and we look for things to begin to fall into our lap, or we think that some things are just going to happen just like that without us doing anything. Yes, you're going to have to do something that's going to require your faith, and it's going to require your action. It's going to require you doing something in order for some things to begin to work and to begin to move on your part and on your behalf. Think about it. What is it that God has promised you? Begin to ask yourself. I know sometimes we can go day by day, you know, working, doing our jobs and doing different things and so on, and tasks and different things like that, and we easily forget about, you know, what God has promised us. So I'm here to ask you on tonight, what did God promise you? Whether it was 5 years ago, whether it was 10 years ago, whether it was just on yesterday, but think about, what did God promise you? Just see light on that for a minute. Ponder on it. Just think about it. Give yourself, just 60 seconds to think about what God promised you. Did you have a list of things that God promised you, and you kind of pushed it off on the shelf somewhere and put it on the back burner somewhere and everything, just kind of like forgot about it? Just think about what God has promised. Did he promise he'd restore your marriage? Did he promise that he's going to deliver that your son from out of jail, from out of prison? Did he promise that he was going to deliver the loved one from off of drugs or from off of alcohol? Did he promise you concerning ministry? Did he promise you concerning wealth? Think about it. What did God promise you? Did he promise you concerning business or entrepreneurship. Think about, what did God promise? Did he promise you a spouse? That husband, that wife you've been waiting on? Think about it. Now, again, listen to this. Again, true faith requires action. Hear that? I'm going to be touching a little bit from the Experiencing God book. It's by Henry and Richard Blackaby and Clark King, and from the Word of God. Amen. So in Romans, the fourth chapter, starting at the 19th verse, you got your Bible, get a pad, get a pen. I know I don't have a lot of time, but I'm get a pad, get a pen, just take down some notes, write this down, these scriptures down, write down for yourself that you can refer to, go back and use as a reference point in your own time. But think about, remember what God has promised you. Now, Romans, the fourth chapter, we all, this is dealing with, I'm going to just go all the way forward to the 19th verse. And we know in Romans, the fourth chapter, is dealing with concerning Abraham, what God has had promised Abraham. And Paul began to teach on concerning Abraham. But in Romans, the fourth chapter, of the 19th verse, I'm going to read the 19th through the 21st verse, and it says, "And being not weak in the faith, and being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body, now dead, when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able also to perform." Now let's begin to dissect that some. Let's begin to break that down some. Faith. Remember, you heard me say true faith requires action. Now, we just read here, it talks about Abraham, which was 100 years old, right? And remember the deadness of Sarah's womb. Abraham considered not that. Oh, he knew that God had promised him. That's what he was standing on. He was standing on what God had promised him, that God promised him that he was going to have a son. And that's what he's holding fast to. So the enemy tried to slip in there through a process while he's believing God. See, if you're not careful, the enemy will try to send a counterfeit. And the enemy will come to try to bring, you know, send somebody to, you know, to give you a false word or to give you something that's off or anything, or try to persuade you otherwise, other than you standing on what God has promised you. So remember, the fake always come first before the real, before the authentic. See, the enemy always send a counterfeit first, before the real promise comes, to see if he can sway you and get you to fall into that. And so that's why it's very important and good to have spiritual discernment and also know the Word of God and stand on the Word of God and what God has promised you. And I remember ministering on some broadcasts ago. I don't remember what broadcast, but God had me to minister on spiritual things that are spiritually discerned and the importance of spiritual discernment. And so when you get a chance, just go back to the archives and you can pull it up on some of the past broadcasts and everything, and you can listen to the past broadcasts in the archives. I encourage you to be able to do so. Even when you sometimes when you miss our broadcast that we're on every first and third Monday, you can always go back to the archives and begin to listen to what was on and listen to other broadcasts that was done by myself and also by my wife and some guests that we have had on the broadcast. But getting back to the Word of God. Now, see, the enemy always sent a counterfeit first before the real thing comes. See, the enemy knows that. So he has an inkling, he has a sense of something that God is about to get ready and do something in your life. So that's why, you know, a lot of mess, a lot of stuff gets stirred up, you know, around you. The enemy try to bring confusion. And know that when confusion comes, the Word of God talks about there's every, you know, wicked work. And the Word of God said that God is not the author of confusion. So if there's confusion around you, confusion going on, a bunch of mess, a bunch of stuff, know that God is not the author of confusion and God is not in it, because God will not have you confused. So here's Abraham. He staggered not at the promise, but wait a minute, preacher, you just said at first he did. Yeah, he did at first. You know, I ain't going to say, you know, he staggered not, but he put it like this. He got kind of detoured. He thought the promise was going to happen another kind of way, because his wife came to him and said, you know what, you know, it's not, things not happening down there, you know, like it used to. So how about, you know, I give you my maid servant, you know, how about, you know, we could have the son, you know, like that. What they call them when they use the other one, I forgot what they call it when they use another woman. Use them to carry a child. But it didn't come back to me. Y'all know what I'm talking about. I'm pretty sure you guys, y'all see it on these surreal shows. Y'all see it on television, how they use another person to carry a child. The woman that cannot have children, they use another woman to carry her seed to have a child for. But it'll come back to me. But you guys know what I'm talking about. A surrogate mother, that's it. Hallelujah. Surrogate mother. That's it. So this wasn't something new that you're seeing today. This is all the way back. See, the word of God, I believe in Ecclesiastes, said there's nothing new under the sun. And so a surrogate. So that was the first surrogate back then, you might as well say, so to speak. So so Abraham was convinced to, you know, go into his wife, servant, help. And so he did that, and that's where we get Ishmael from. When you think about it, I know sometimes, you know, the world's terrified about the Muslim nation and everything. And did you not know they are the half brothers of the Jewish people? They are brothers fighting against each other. Half brothers fighting against each other. See, the Muslim nation was birthed forth out of Ishmael. But remember, God said that the promise was not going to come through him, because God did not promise Abraham that way. God said, through your wife, the promise shall be birthed. I'm ministering to somebody on tonight. See, the enemy is trying to trick some of you to go another way to receive the promise, trying to get you to compromise concerning the things of God, to compromise your integrity, to compromise, to get the promise another kind of way. And God said, no, I didn't say that way. This is the way I told you that the promise is going to come. And I know sometimes we can, you know, think that we have God figured out. Sometimes we can rely on people too much. I'm speaking for myself. I'm putting myself out there. That I remember, you know, in time past, I've had people that came to me and promised me this and promised me that, and people that I've ministered to, guided me to minister to prophetically, even though I really wasn't looking for nothing in return, but they spoke it out of their mouths. And, you know, I haven't had people that said, you know, when I come into money, I can remember this years ago that I had ministered to this one particular person, and they said I fasted, prayed, gave them the word of the Lord, and they said, they told me this. They said, you know, when God bless me, I got some money coming. When God bless me, I'm going to be a blessing to you. Now, this was years ago. Now, God had blessed them. God had blessed them to come into this money. And they, guess what? They forgot about me. And so what God was showing me was through that, not to put my hope and my trust and my faith like that, because you don't know what God can do, because we begin to put a limitation on God. And we begin to think that we have, what God was trying to show me, that I kind of thought I had God figured out. You know how sometimes those, you know, prophetic people, you know, those prophetic people and those that be prophetic people that are listening to me now, you know, your prophets and prophetess and those that are prophetic people that are listening to me now, you know how you can get a word in concerning, you know, prosperity or some finances or something, but then you think about that promise that which that person had promised that they was going to be a blessing to you, and automatically you're assuming that that's how it's going to come, that that's how God is going to bless you, that's how God is going to move. And I tell you, from time to time, I had encountered that throughout my years in ministry and me ministering to the people of God. And I just love ministering to the people of God. I don't do it for money. I don't do it for anything in return. It's a blessing to me. It just encourages me when I see the people of God getting breakthroughs and miracles, and God is blessing his people. God is turning around their circumstances and their situations and so on and everything. But through those seasons in my life that God was trying to show me don't rely upon that. Don't be so that I, to the point that I think that I had them figured out that it was going to come this way and so on. But I was proven wrong each and every time when I thought that, yeah, this is how it's going to happen. This is how God is going to bless me because I got confirmation. And this prophet that God has spoke through told me that, you know, God is about to bless me and wealth and prosperity is about to come. And then I think about those that had those around me that said that there was going to be, a blessing thinking it's going to happen that way. Yeah, I know it's going to happen through this person. Yeah, I know it's going to happen through that person. And guess what? It don't. It didn't. God said, I'm showing you that, you know, that I promised you. And when we think that we got them figured out, that's when you go wrong. You don't know how God is going to come, how God is going to operate, how God is going to move. I remember God had me to minister a while back on tomorrow can be your day that you walk and step into your promise. Tomorrow can be that day that you walk into your inheritance that God has promised you. You can be one day away from walking in wealth and prosperity. Remember, think about all the years that you have suffered and went through something, I mean, many years in your life, and all that can change in one day. Through God can cause that all to change in one day, radically turn your life around. If you don't believe me, think about Joseph. Joseph experienced and went through some things in his life. In order for Joseph to get to the position where God was moving him to, some things had to be stirred up in his life. Some things had to happen. Some things had to take place in his life. First of all, God caused him to have a dream, right? Could nothing happen unless, you know, God had spoke to him. And then guess what? He had to share that dream that he had to provoke and to start something. And everybody knows this. Well, I ain't going to say everybody, but those of you that is listening, Bible scholars and so on, you know the story of Joseph. And so when he shared that story, it stirred up some stuff. And then he had another dream. And it really caused his brothers to be angry and wanted to murder him, wanted to kill him, you know, wanted to slay him, wanted to set a trap for him to take his life. Yeah, that wanted to try to take his life. But guess what? God's hand was upon his life. God was getting him to a appointed place. And see, the enemy thought that he had him. He said, I'm going to stop this. I'm not going to let this this dream come to pass. And I'm saying that to say this. God has promised you something. And I know that you shared it with some people. And all of a sudden, they're jealous. They're angry. They're mad at you. Don't understand why they're mad. You know, I don't understand. I thought they were my friend. And all of a sudden, you know, I shared them something that, you know, that God has showed me or God has placed upon my heart or God gave me a vision concerning the thing and I just shared it with them. All of a sudden, you know, they're jealous. You know, they became jealous of me, angry at me, and all of a sudden they was working against me. I don't understand. I don't know what happened. No, that's God allowing that to be stirred up to get you to that place of promise, that appointed place that he had promised and destined for your life. And what God is doing, he's stirring up and he's activating your faith. He's growing your faith because he want to get you out of that place that you were in last year. That is going to take greater faith in this year. That it took, you know, greater faith in this year than it did last year. So the Word of God talks about how we are changed, or how we are taken from faith to faith and from glory to glory. That's what the Word of God said. We don't stay in one place. When you're in school, when you started out in school, you started out, what, in kindergarten, right? So now you're preschool. But then, you know, they get you ready for kindergarten, right? Then you went from that to first grade, right? As you age, you know, as you get older, you know, the next year, your age changes, you're a little bit older, you go to the next grade and so on and everything. So just think about the system of God, the kingdom of God, and how God operates. You are in the kingdom, and you're walking in the things of God, that which you have God allow you to conquer and to overcome on last year is going to take greater faith in this year than it did last year for you to overcome some things. No, notice, in this year you have came up against some greater obstacles than you did on last year. Notice you have experienced some greater challenges than you did on last year. Think about it. Sea life for a minute. You're going to kind of like hear me say that from time to time. Can I just talk with you, people of God? Can we just converse? I know a lot of times we used to hear, you know, preaching and you know, I'm not knocking the hooping and hollering and humming and all that stuff, but, you know, can I just talk to you on tonight? Is that all right? Is that okay that we, you know, we just talk and just have some camaraderie on tonight, you know, as brothers and sisters in Christ and, you know, in the Lord, and just I'm just here to encourage you on tonight concerning, you know, the Word of God. So God don't want us to be in the same place that we were in yesterday. Time is winding up. More demonic forces are being released in the earth. You know, that's why you're experiencing greater challenges. Like, man, you know, especially, you know, think about those of you that are in ministry, those that are, you know, whether you're the traveling evangelist or whether you, you know, you're a teacher in the church, in the body of Christ, or whether you are an apostle, prophet, evangelist, you know, whatever office that you hold in the body of Christ. Notice the challenges have been greater. Notice in your years in ministry, notice it just seemed like it's been getting harder. Like, man, I haven't experienced, you know, nothing, you know, like this before, you know, in my years being in ministry and so on, these certain kind of challenges and different things like that. Notice it's getting a little bit harder. Notice the words that are being prophetic words that are being released into your life. And notice, remember, you know the saying is that, you know, you always hear, you know, the cliche, you know, greater levels, greater devils, you know, and that is true. You experience much opposition. The more God begins to elevate, promote you in the kingdom, the greater the opposition. The more God releases anointing upon your life, the more responsibility that God releases into your hands, the more influence, the praise that God is bringing you into, the more opposition that you come up against, the more persecution, the more that you experience the people lying on you, talking about you, scandalizing your name, cutthroating you, stabbing you in your back. And I'm like, and a lot of that is happening. And I'm not talking about in the world. I'm talking about in the church. You know, you're experiencing these things in the church, in the body. Think about it. Think about the Word of God. The Word of God was not written to the people in the world. When you read the Word of God, the Word of God was written to the church, unto the church, from the Old Testament unto the New. The Old Testament, as we know, shadows and types of that which was to come, and talking about Jesus Christ and so on and the end times and everything. And notice, even in the New Testament, the epistles of Paul and the New Testament of Jesus Christ and so on and everything is all addressed to the church. Notice when you're reading Paul, he is addressing the letters to the church of Corinthians, the church of Ephesus. And, you know, just it's all to the church. It's to us, people of God. And so what God is doing, he's getting us ready and prepared for that which is about to come upon the earth. We haven't seen nothing yet. We have not experienced nothing yet which is about to come upon the earth. So God wants us to be ready. God wants us to be in position. God wants us to be in a place where we're not lukewarm. Or you say, whether you be hot or cold, there's not going to be no in between. It's either you're going to be on the Lord's side or you're going to be on the enemy side, the other side. There's no none of that. And so that's why God uses trials and tribulations and tests to push us so that we don't get comfortable. And that's why God allowed to put a little bit of fire up under us, because sometimes we do get lax. We do get comfortable. Sometimes we do start to get passive and then lax to go daisy state. And everything will get lethargic and so on. So God said, I got to put a little fire up on them. So let me stir up a little test here. Let me stir up a little tribulation here. Let me stir up, you know, the enemy some to get up behind them and so they can get to where I'm trying to lead them to. Because I'm trying to lead you to a place of plenty, to a place where my blessings for your life are, that place of prosperity. The place where I was talking to a man of God a couple of days ago. I thank God for him, and this is true. And he's mentioning something about another man of God, concerning there's a higher level than kingship that God wants to bring us into, and we have been taught in the body of Christ that. That's it. You know, you're kingly anointing. You're a king. You know, with what God said, kings and priests, and this particular men of God have had face to face often throughout the year, for years, with Jesus personally, encounters with Jesus. And that's what the Lord wants us to have, face to face encounters with Him. He wants us to be changed in our life to never be the same. But this man of God began to say how Jesus appeared to him and began to tell him there's a higher office than a king. You know, that's why Jesus is called the King of Kings. He's king. There's an office that's king over kings. I'm pretty sure that some of you, you know, do history study, you know, in history, or you know, saw on the History Channel and the song, it's called the Empress, the Emperor's Anointing, or the Emperor's, put it like that, I don't know, but the Emperor who rules over kings, other kings. And so Jesus brought this to this man of God, saying that, you know, we need to believe Him for to walk in the Emperor's Anointing, to walk in that domain, to walk in that realm where we have dominion, as the Word of God said, authority over the atmosphere and the authority over the and that requires faith. And the first thing what we first must do, have to master, as the men of God said, we have to master being our sonship. Notice the Word of God talks about the earth waits and groans and travail for the manifestation of the sons of God. It was stated, not apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers, bishops. It said that the earth groans for the manifestation of the sons of God. And first, when you ask a person in ministry, you know, ask them, who are they? You know, who are you? And the first thing, you know, we end up saying, well, I'm apostle such and such, or I'm prophet such and such, or I'm evangelist. No, that's an office. You're first a son before you anything else. That's our identity right there. And what was Adam in the beginning? He was a son in the beginning. And that's what the enemy came to rob us of, is our identity. Notice, when there's not a father in the home, that son don't know his identity. That daughter don't know her identity. There's a struggle with identity. Think about those of you that did not have a father. Maybe your father passed when you were young. I know my father passed when I was about 6 or 7 years old. You know, he died prematurely. But I really didn't know what it was. I had some fathers in and out of my life, but they really didn't know what it was to be a father in my life. And so I struggled with my identity of knowing who I was. You know, so I was trying to find myself. So that's why a lot of times don't condemn, don't release curses upon, you know, the young men and the young women out here that are involved in gangs or selling drugs and different things that are out here, you know, rebelling and getting caught up in all kind of stuff and everything. Is why? Because think about it. If there's not a father in a home, that's what that comes in at. And you can have some fathers in the home. They can be there, but not present. You know, they can physically be there, but not really be a father. There are some homes that are like that. Some of you can attest to that. You grew up in a home. Your father was there, but he was really not there. He was there physically, but was really not there. He really didn't play a part in your life. That's why it's so important concerning family and marriage and priorities. And I know I can remember years ago I was taught wrong, the order, all wrong. I was taught church, well, God first, church, then family. That was wrong. I was taught wrong. That was wrong. And if you're teaching that and to the people of God is wrong, those of you that are pastors, those that are leaders, that's wrong, because that's going against the Word of God. It's God, then family, then the church. And that's why we wonder why our marriages are messed up and in divorce, why so much divorce, even in the church, because of the out of order system of God. It's not in the right alignment, not in the right order. I don't know how I even got this, but I know it's the Holy Spirit leading me this way. But we're still talking about faith. But the Holy Spirit just is leading me to touch on this. This is why we just, in the body of Christ, is like so much of a mess in the body of Christ because of it. Because we talk wrong. Well, we tell the people of God, oh, you're not going to be blessed because you weren't here that Sunday or this Tuesday, and oh, you missed it, and now you and that's manipulation. That's not right. That's manipulation. You're operating out of manipulation. You're operating out of control when you do that. When you tell, people in the church that, oh, you should have been here. You know, God was about to bless you that day. And because you didn't, you weren't here, then you missed out on your blessing and everything. And, you know, that's wrong. It's not right, what you hear me saying, people of God. And so that's why it's such an attack against marriages, families, and homes, and that's where, you know, the apostolic ministry comes in at, also to set things in order and right, and, you know, in alignment and back the way it's supposed to be, where God has intended it to be. Amen, because what the Father wants are families. All going back to family. In the beginning, it started out with family, and guess what? It's going to end in family. Think about it. What did the Lord say in the Word of God in Revelation? It talks about, you know, when those that have died in the faith, died in the Lord and went on before you to be with God, and they have some, you know, people's loved ones, family members that were saved and passed and went on, and they just say, you know, when it's your time, or you caught up in a rapture, you're taken up, and you guess there's going to be a family reunion, right? What are you going to, who are you going to see? You're going to see family. You're going to see friends there that gave their life to the Lord, that died in the Lord and everything, gave their life to the Lord. You're going to see them. You're going to meet them again. You're going to see them again. And what's going on? Family, a whole big family going on, a family reunion. Where do you think you get family reunions from? Where do you think you get family reunion from? It's going to be a family reunion in heaven, a big reunion. Think about something that's never ending. Think about it. For all eternity, with family, with God, never ending. And who want to be separated? Think about that loved one that you love, and think about the spouse that you love, and think about, you know, being separated from them and never ever being able to see them again, and think about being just suffering and torment and all this stuff, being separated from God for all eternity, never having getting, you know, another chance again, and that's it. You know, and that's why while there's still breath in your body, this is the opportunity, your chance, amen, to live for God and to do what God would have you to do. And I'm just even speaking to some of you that may be listening right now. You may be in a backslidden state, or you may not even giving your life to the Lord. You may be a person that don't even know Jesus Christ, don't know anything about church. You happen to stumble across this broadcast, and it was not by coincidence, it was not by chance, it was not by accident on tonight that you're listening, that you're tuned in. God loves you. God, Jesus Christ paid the price for you. There's no sin too great that God will not forgive. There's no sin too small that God won't forgive. Sometimes we feel like we've done so much dirt, so many things in our life that God will not accept me, God will not receive me. That's why Jesus, he was rejected, he was bruised, and all these various things that Jesus went through for us. He was beaten to a pulp undescribable. Imagine that person that was beat with a bat, and what we term, I can remember the term we used to use growing up, called pumpkin head. You know, and Jesus got, they gave him a pumpkin head, beat him so bad beyond recognition, there's no words that really can describe what Jesus looked like and what he had went through for us, because he loved us so much that he did not want us to see us separated from God all eternity. He didn't want to see us perished or sent to eternal damnation. But he thought about you, daughter. He thought about you, son, when he hung down the cross. He looked through the eyes of time and down through the generations to come, that he was looking at your salvation. He was looking at that. He saw that you were going to be bound by drugs. He saw that you were going to have an alcohol addiction or perverted spirit of perversion on you. He saw that you was going to be one that that experienced being in an abusive relationship mentally and physically, or molested. He saw all that. That's why he paid the price for you, that you can be delivered, that you can be healed, that you can be set free. He paid the price for you concerning your sicknesses and your disease. He paid the price for you. That's why he gave his life for you, a ransom for you. you're bought with a price. Remember that your life is not your own. Remember, he paid the price for you. And I know sometimes, you know, we feel like, well, the world is sending the message out there, live my own way, do what I want to do, you know, and so on and everything, be my own. And you know, New Age teachings about, you know, you're God and all this craziness and this mess. And it's just showing you the days and the times that we are in is rapidly winding up, and Jesus Christ, you know, comes from time to time to see if there's faith in the earth, to see if we are ready. But the church is not ready yet. The church yet have to experience and walk in that power that was prophesied by Joel, that in the last days that God's going to pour out his spirit upon all flesh. That in the early church, you know, as Jesus began to say, great works have I done, but greater shall you do, because I'm going unto the Father. We have not yet seen, and yet not yet. We're just on the brink of experiencing the greater works of Jesus Christ. We have not yet scraped the surface. I know we have some great generals that went before us, like A.A. Allen and the great generals in Smith Wigglesworth and so on, a lot of them, many of them. McPherson, that went on, a lot of that went on before us, amen, great, but we still did God used them to perform great miracles, multitudes being healed and lived, but we still have not seen nothing yet. This is not only for the fivefold ministry gift. This is going to be a kingdom movement. I'm talking about, that's where Ephesians 4, 11 and 12 comes in at, about it's God gave the offices for the perfecting of the saints, for the perfecting of those that are lay members, those that are work in the grocery store, that you're just a clerk, cashier, or a stock person, or you're just a janitor, or you may be a person that's a teacher at school, or a businessman, or a businesswoman, or you may be a homemaker, but you love the Lord and you've been seeking the face of God and you've been walking with the Lord. I'm talking about people like you, people that are of the kingdom, ordinary people that's going to be moving in great miracles, signs, and wonders, that you sit back and you think that, oh, this is supposed to be for the apostles, this is supposed to be for the preachers, you know, those that preach and minister from the pulpit are the only one that's supposed to move in this dimension. No, this is what Ephesians 4, 11 and 12, the fourth chapter, 11 and 12 chapter, was talking about, is talking about bringing us into the maturity, the full measure, the stature of Jesus Christ. That's what it's all about, so that we can be the manifested sons of God in the earth, moving in this dimension. I'm talking about those of you. You can be a teller at a bank, and the guy working a miracle. Somebody come in, and they dealing with a chronic lung disease, and they got a breathing machine on them, and walking with the tank and everything. And God uses them to perform. God uses you to perform a miracle, and they like to speak the word, and they be healed. And a miracle take place in their life. I'm talking about, it's for you. That's what the Ephesians 4, 11 and 12 was all about, to talk to you, to minister to you about you doing the work of ministry, perfecting you so that you can do the work of ministry, not just for the fivefold ministry, give you. Again, it goes back again to true faith requires action. You hear that? True faith requires action. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Let me, I just want to break this down concerning faith. Faith. Let me give you a definition. Merriam-Webster Dictionary says faith is like this. It's firm belief in something for which no proof, complete trust, without question. You hear that? Firm belief in something for which no proof, you hear that? No proof. Complete trust without questions. How many of you can say that you have faith like that? Mm-hmm. How many of you can say that you have that kind of faith, that without question, you don't question, that you have complete trust And I know that I just believe in God, because I know that sometimes there are some areas that we have complete faith in God and trust in, but then there are some other areas in our life that we don't. We can't believe God, and we don't really trust God fully all the way. But God wanted to be that way in every area of our life. God wants us to believe him that way. Amen. What people of God, I was just told that I was given some more time. Amen. If this is good for you, if this word is good for you, amen. Let me know. Amen. Area code 773-888-3356. Just let me know that if this word is a blessing to you, if this word is encouraging you. I was told that I'll give some more time, and I just want to be able to give you what God has for you on tonight. This word that God had given me for you on tonight. But again, how many of us can say that we completely trust God without question in every area of our life? You know, not too few of us can really, you know, raise our hand and say that we, you know, we have believed God like that. And so that's where, you know, God began to polish us up at. That's where God began to, like I said, allow us to experience some tests and some trials in our life to sharpen us and to, you know, strengthen some of those areas. You know, that's why we pray, Lord, build us up where we've been torn down, and strengthen us where we are weak at. You hear that? Where we are weak at, because yeah, there are some areas that we get weak in, that we need some building up in. See, there may be some areas in your life that you may be strong in that I may be weak in. And there are some areas in my life that I may be strong in, but it may be weakness to you. And so that's why we're supposed to encourage one another, as the Word of God said in Galatians, talks about us doing that. You know, if our brother's overtaken in the fall, we that are spiritual, restore one with the spirit of meekness, except we be overtaken in that same thing. So we have to encourage one another, be strength to one another. Amen. Pray for one another, intercede for one another, not tear one another down, not speak ill of one another, but pray, even to the point where even Jesus said, bless your enemies. I know that's not easy to do. I know your enemy can do some stuff that you feel like, you know, you, when you were in the world, you didn't tolerate it. A person just pointed their finger in your face. That's fighting right there. I can remember growing up, back in the day, a person came and just point their finger. My faith, that's a punch right there. That was a hit right there. I'm swinging right there when you pointed your finger in my face. Or all the person had to do was say was your mama. Your mama is all that's fighting words. Fighting words. So a lot of times the enemy try to bring, you know, cause our flesh to rise up, that dead man to try to resurrect himself. But God wants that dead man to stay dead. Keep it dead in the tomb, in the grave. Amen. You know, I'm here first to say, maybe like a week ago, I had an experience where there's a lot of traffic going on where I'm at. And anyway, I'm here in the windy city of Chicago. Amen. The windy city where you're listening to this broadcast and everything. And we thank God for the windy city of Chicago and everything. So, but there was some challenges. I was tested, and there was some challenges and everything, and the Lord began to show me where I still need some work and need to come up at, in that particular area of my life. And so I know there's some areas in your life where you know that you need to come up at, and that's where faith comes in and where we need to believe God. Our dependency and our hope and our trust is strictly in God. So when we begin to depend on things and other people and so on and everything, those things, they become a crutch, and things become a crutch. But God wants our total dependence to be upon him, and to believe him and to trust him. Now, in James, the second chapter, in the 26th verse, says that as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without deeds is dead. When you face a crisis of belief, what you do demonstrates what you believe. Faith without action is dead. You let what you do demonstrates what you believe. Let me say that again. What you do demonstrates what you believe. So you're going to act out on what you believe. So from the abundance of the heart, what the mouth speaks. So as a man thinketh, so is what? he. This is what the word says. You get that? Hebrews 11 is sometimes called the role of faith. Let's take a look at the action of these individuals who demonstrated their faith. You know about Hebrews 11 chapter. We know that's the chapter of faith. It's talking about the great patriarchs of faith and those that were of faith and those that believed God. And even I'm getting back to Joseph. That's not what it brings you back to Joseph. Let's get back to Joseph. So there was this, you know, situation stirred up, and how was he going to get to Egypt? How was he going to get to this place of influence, this place of authority, except some things had to be stirred up. It wasn't like that, okay, I had this dream, and now I'm just going to go to Egypt, and I'm going to go and just take my place of authority in Egypt. He just couldn't go and walk in and do, he had to go through the process. And sometimes we just want to go in this season, you know, I'm like, we'll put it like this, in this time that we're in now, I know we're hearing a lot of faith teaching, but we're hearing a lot of name it and claim it, instant and stuff. And a lot of times we don't want to pay a price for anything, but you're going to have to pay a price. And so what happened, you know, Joseph just couldn't name it and claim it, and I'm in this position of thought. He had to go through some things. He had to go through some stuff. He had to go through with his own family. The word of God said, who is my mother? Who is my brother? The one that does the will of the Father. So he had to go through some stuff with some family members, his own family. He had to experience some rejection. So he had to go through some where he had to get pushed out of his comfort zone. I'm prophesying to somebody. And so he had to experience what it was to go through, you know, some hardships, some hard times. He had to experience going through Lodibar. He had to experience what it was to be in the pit somewhere, to be down and out and everything stripped from him. Like, you know, even though he had his coat of many colors and that was taken away from him and so on, experienced loss. He had to experience losing things. He had to experience being stripped all the way down to nothing. And I know some of you can attest to that. Amen. That have been through some things in your life. And I'm here to say, you know, I don't share anything, you know, except, you know, that you don't know that I've not been through it first for myself. Things that I would share with the people of God, share with you, is something that I've experienced for myself. I know what it's like to be stripped of everything, not to have nothing, stripped once having a house or having, you know, a car or this or that or whatever, having these different things, having a nice paying job, to be stripped down, reduced down to nothing, even to the point where you can even draw unemployment, reduce all of that, so that my faith totally had to be upon God and to believe God. My trust had to be totally in God, to believe God. Where when you know, my wife, she's a witness. We both went through this together. Now, she could have left and said, forget this. You know, you don't have no job. You know, we're not in a place, this or that, and so on. I'm up out of here. Like, you know, some women would do, because their security is gone. We know that wives, they like security. They want to feel secure. But thank God for the women of faith and the women of God that stand in there. Amen. I want to encourage the women of God to continue to stand in there with your spouse, with your husband, to go through with them, because that's what it's all about. You guys are as one. And know that God is going to restore you, and what you had before, God's going to give it back to you and even greater. And God's going to give you double for your shame. So I encourage those of you, the married couples, in the body of Christ, in the kingdom, that is listening to this under the sound of my voice. Amen. Hang in there. Keep fighting the good fight of faith. Continue to encourage. Woman, encourage your husband. Husband, encourage your wife through the midst of it. And I thank God for my wife, boy, because she could have just packed up and said, I'm up out of here. I'm going to mama and dad. I'm not going to be here. You know, for this, you're going to go through this by yourself. No, we are to, when I say we went through, we went through. No electricity. So we had to get the night, the battery operated light that you press to turn on, turn off for our light. We had to use flashlights. We had no running water. And we had to go to the park somewhere or to the laundromat to get gallons of water to use to have water to flush the toilet in the song and everything, and we didn't have no gas, no heating anything. We had to go and cook our food on the grill. I was barbecuing our food on the grill. So we were like in survival mode. And I thank God for seeing us through that, you know, knowing how to abase and how to abound and what sort of state that we were in. So what we did, we trusted God through the midst of what we were going through. I'm just giving you the edited version of what we went through. I'm still talking about true faith that requires action. And so we were just believing God, standing on the word of God, that because what happened was the first thing that happened when things started to look like it's going downhill is first what happened, your resources are attacked. So when there's no resources, then everything else began to go. So I end up, you know, my job was gone. And then that's when everything else started to go. You can't pay bills, right? So you get the notices. You get the disconnect notices and everything. But yet we still had believed God, that God was going to see us through. And God, glory be to God, God has seen us through. God turned our circumstances. God turned our situation around. We had people that had knocked on the door and said they felt led to come by and gave us money, sold our life, and certain places that we had went to when we was going through that season of our life some years ago, and we were called out, and the pastor had wanted to meet with us, and felt led to sow resources into our life and everything. God was providing for us. God was blessing us. God was looking out for us, and God made a way for us through that wilderness experience that we were going through. God saw us through. I'm just giving you the edited version of what we experienced, my wife and myself, and glory be to God. You know, some, you know, marriages like that, when you go through like that, you end up in divorce and so on and everything, but proven marriages, proven things like that, that's why God calls it to be tried and to be tested. And so, because he's looking at, if you're being faithful over the little, if you're being faithful to me and not to things, then God said, I can trust you, I can bless you. A lot of times, you know, our faith being things, our faith, we allow that to dictate our walk in God, that, well, God didn't bring this to pass and this didn't happen, so I'm giving up on God, I'm turning away, I'm going back. And so that's what we allow the enemy to trick us. And now, so now your relationship was based on what God can do for you, what God can release out of his hand. Your relationship was not based on, God, I love you no matter what. And that's what our relationship, my wife and myself, and I told my wife that if I start acting funny or crazy or something like that, or allow the enemy to use me, you still stand God. Don't allow me to cause you to turn away from God. You, if I seem to be veering off or something like that, you stay in God. Don't allow that to change you. You stay faithful in the things of God. You do that. But glory be to God for a praying wife that I didn't you know, veer off and stuff and different things like that. But I thank God. But anyway, so we believe God. And yet to this day we still believe God when we face oppositions and when things come our way, when it's time for our season to be tested and tried, when God is bringing us into another dimension in him, when God is promoting us, when God has promised us something, we know that we're going to be tried for it. You know, we believe in God that, God, regardless of what happened in our life, we're not going to turn away from you. Whether this works out or don't work out, God, we're still going to follow you. We're still going to serve you. We're not going to allow it to cause us to turn away from you because this didn't work out or that didn't work out or this relationship didn't work out with, you know, that we need, you know, with some people in the church or something like that. It didn't work out. So I'm giving up on God. I want to have nothing to do with the church or because we saw something, you know, with a pastor or with a leader or something that wasn't right or they may have some flaws or something like that. So, you know, we weren't like, I'm giving up. I don't want to have nothing to do with the church. You know, that's why, you know, there's nothing but a bunch of hypocrites in the church. No, the word of God said that search out your own salvation with fear and trembling, and that we're going to have to give an account for God, to God, for ourselves. You know, we're not going to have no excuse. We're not going to be able to stand before God and say, well, because that pastor, he wasn't doing right, or she wasn't doing right, or my wife wasn't doing right, or my husband wasn't doing right, or this and that, trying to point the finger like Adam did with Eve and like Eve did with the enemy, with the serpent. No, we're not going to be, God's going to be like, required of you. What did I give to you to do? Did you do what I require for you to do? God's going to deal with that person accordingly. You know, every man accordingly. We stand before the judgment seat of God. You know, he's not going to hear and listen for no excuses. Well, I know my time is winding. I want to get a little bit more into the Word of God so I can be able to open up the lines for those of you that may need prayer or want to have some comments or something like that. I want to leave space for that. But getting back into the Word, I'm going to be able to wrap it up. I thank God for this time, for them giving me a little bit more time up to do the broadcast. So I thank God for that and for our favor. So let's get back to Abraham. Now remember, Hebrews 11:1 said, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen." And we skip down to verse 6, and it says, "But without faith, it is impossible to please him." Please who? That's God. Please God. "For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him." Now I want to go back. I want to just touch a little bit on stagger right quick. And it talks about in Romans 4 up and back in there where it talks about how Abraham, he didn't stagger. They say he staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief. And so stagger, the definition for stagger is to waver in purpose or action, hesitate, to cause to doubt. In James, the first chapter, in the third and fourth verse, it talks about the trying of your faith, work of patience. And it skips down to the 6 through 8 verse. It talks about let that man not think that he should receive anything from God. Because James began to talk about how if you're like the waves being tossed to and fro, you know, being double-minded, one minute you believe God, next minute you don't. One minute you believe God's going to do it, next minute you don't. Then James began to say, think that you should not receive anything from God. Because remember, without faith, it is impossible to please God. I'm speaking to myself as well, you know, because we men and women of God of the cloth. We have to believe God. We must be people of faith. We have to believe God. And not to say sometimes we don't have challenges, not to say sometimes that, you know, many of you don't try to weary us or try to wear us down, because we experience a double warfare. Not only that we war and pray demon spirits off of you and out of your life and cast spirits out and everything, not only do we have to deal with that, the warfare that you go through as a lay member, but we deal with the forces to try to work against us, to try to discourage us, to try to get us to not believe God or to back up and so on and everything, you know, the warfare that we have to deal with, the attacks that we have to deal with of those of us that do have the pulpit ministry. You don't know what we go through, what we experience. You know, we're human just like you. We experience things, hurts and disappointments and so on just like you. But yet we still have to believe God, yet we still have to shake off the dust. We still yet have to have enough faith for you and believe God for you when we're experiencing tests and trials and experience blows, you know, in our life and experiencing betrayals and disappointments and being backstabbed and all kind of attacks and attacks of witchcraft and various things that we encounter and that we come up against, especially those of us that are involved in the deliverance ministry and prophetic ministries and song that, you know, that preach the word of God, these different things that we come up against, whether we are psalmist or a worshiper, and so on. So these are tools of the enemy that try to work against us. So not only that we believe in God for ourselves and fighting for ourselves, but yet we believe in God for you as well. And I'm about to wrap it up in a few minutes. Amen. And in Mark, you know, actually in Psalms, the 20th chapter, it talks about, it says this, that the Lord hear thee in a day of trouble. The name of God of Jacob defend thee. Send thee help from the sanctuary, strengthen thee out of Zion. Verse 3 says, remember all thy offerings except thy burnt sacrifice. Of course, we don't offer burnt sacrifice. And what your sacrifice, remember you heard me say Romans 12:1 about presenting your body as a living sacrifice? That's what you're offering up to the Lord. Your prayers begin to come up as an offering before the Lord as a incense and an aroma. That's if you are walking uprightly before the Lord. Amen. Your prayers be a sweet aroma to his nostrils. And that's why it says that that he accepts your sacrifices. And then verse 4 says, he grant thee according to thine own heart and fulfill all thy counsel. This is what I'm getting at right here. Verse 5 said that we will rejoice in thy salvation, and in the name of our God we will set up our banners. The Lord fulfill all thy petitions. I want to encourage somebody on tonight, amen, to meditate on that Selah, that the Lord will fulfill all thy petitions. He said, the Lord fulfill all thy petitions. So how are you going to fulfill your petition? You got to first rejoice in the salvation of the Lord. You got to first rejoice that God is going to deliver you. You got to first rejoice that God is going to bring you out of this situation. That's what it talks about, praising God. That's what the word talks about, blessing him and giving thanks unto him for all things, for this is his will that concerns you. And that's why David said, I will bless the Lord at all times, and his praises shall continue be within my mouth. And I know sometimes it's not easy when you're going through some hard times, some troubling times, your back is up against the wall, and that's all you mean, getting negative reports, seeing things not working out right and everything. And I know sometimes you can be like, man, how can I praise God? When this is going up, my children acting up, this is happening, my wife done left me, or, you know, my husband left me, or they released me from my job, I'm about to go into foreclosure. And how could, you know, how I praise God when all this is going on in my life? I feel weighed down, I feel bogged down. That's Spirit of God give you a garment of praise put upon you for the spirit of heaviness. You begin to praise God because it shouldn't be based upon your walk in God dictating to you your walk in God. That, well, because I don't feel like it, I'm not going to praise God. Because I'm going through this, I'm not going to praise God. You begin to praise God and begin to bless him. God will cause that thing to break and lift up off of you, and it will cause the blessings to be released. And I know a lot of times we say this, but this is not a cliche, that when the praises goes up, the blessings do truly come down. And if you don't believe me, ask Paul and Silas in their midnight hour when they began to sing and worship and praise the Lord. And what happened? The Spirit of God moved. Hallelujah. Wind. A rushing wind began to blow in and loose them from the prison doors open, and also those that were around them got their deliverance as well. You know that you're the key to other people's deliverance around you. As you begin to praise God and bless God and not allow the enemy to bog you down or weigh you down or try to put you in bondage, it causes others to be broken free. You know, the anointing that God has placed upon your life is not for you, but it's for somebody else to break somebody else through. And you got to get out of that. It's all about you, and woe is me, and all that self-pity. Loose yourself from it. Hallelujah, and begin to allow God to use you to break somebody else through. Amen. Well, thanks to God, that's my time. I pray that I can be able to pick this back up on the next broadcast to continue this. Amen. If you like this, like I said, just give me a call and let me know. If you know, just leave it on the church voicemail message. Every code 773-888-3356 and say, hey, I heard the broadcast, and I guess I would like to let me know when you're back on again. I'll be back on the third Monday of this month and say, you know, I want to hear the continuation of that word that God is giving you, that message that God is giving you. So just call the number and just leave a message, amen, on our church line and let me know, because I would like to pick this up. I'm out of time, and I just want to open up the lines for those to be able to get prayer or call or share or words of encouragement, anything like that. But before we do that, I'd like to open it up for those that don't know the Lord Jesus Christ. You want to give your life to the Lord, or you may be in a backslidden state. I just want you to repeat after me. Say, Lord Jesus, I believe that you are the Son of God, the Messiah who came in the flesh to destroy the works of the devil. You died on the cross for my sins and rose again from the dead. I now confess all my sins and repent. I claim forgiveness and cleansing. I believe that your blood cleanses me now from all sin. Thank you for redeeming me, cleansing me, justifying me, and sanctifying me in your blood. And if you just say that you're saved, welcome to the family of God. The angels in heaven are rejoicing over you. And we thank God for you. In Jesus' name, the lines are now open.
Hello.
Praise
the Lord. Yes, I enjoyed this broadcast. I was listening, and God really ministered. God really ministered to us, you know. And I could touch and agree, you know, about the sufferings and going through, you know, concerning what you and your wife went through, because I went through similar circumstances myself, and the Lord brought me out. And so I just ask that you would pray for me, that pray for my brother that's going to court on Wednesday, and pray for me that God will just strengthen me and give me that spiritual breakthrough to fast and to seek him the more.
Amen. Amen. You don't mind me asking your first name?
My first name is Lauren.
Okay. Well, Father, I agree with Lauren right now in the name of Jesus, according to Matthew 18 and 19. You said, when any two come together, such anything,
God.
I want the saints of God to begin to pray and begin to agree with our sister, be in prayer, begin to pray for those of you that can in your heavenly language.
Amen.
Yes, pray in agreement. Father, in the name of Jesus, we agree. You said, touch and agree. Here on earth, it's done of the Father which is in heaven. And Father, we thank you that it is so. Father, first, we thank you
thank
for
you.
Our brother, Lord, that's going to court on Wednesday, Lord. We thank you for a turnaround. We thank you for favor.
Thank
going
you,
forth before
you,
him
Lord.
In the courtroom. We thank you for his testimony, God. We thank you for getting a hold of his heart. God, let him see you at work in his life, God.
Lord,
let him answer the call of God that is upon his life, God. In the name of
thank
Jesus,
you, Lord,
we declare it. We thank you for it right now. Lies that you
thank you.
Move concerning Lord's petition, God, in the name of you, because your word declares in Psalms that you fulfill all thy petitions, thy counsel and petitions.
Yes, God. Yes,
and we thank
God.
You for it right now concerning her, Lord. Strengthen
thank
her,
you, Lord.
God, in the name of Jesus. Do
thank
it for
you,
her, Lord.
Lord,
in the name of Jesus. And Father, I thank
yes,
you for
God.
The blessing that makes her rich and
yes,
add no sorrow with it, Lord.
Thank
I thank you,
Lord.
For putting a
thank
desire,
you.
A heart
thank you,
within
Lord.
Her, Lord, to want to fast, Lord, to want to come
yes,
after
God.
You, Lord, because this is what you're desiring,
yes.
Lord. And I thank
oh,
you, Lord, for this place, Lord, that you're bringing her into, Lord,
yes, Father.
Lord, for the call of God,
thank
even
you.
Upon her life, God, in the name
thank
of you, that you're drawing her closer to you, Lord, and that you're bringing her
yes,
out of a place
Father.
Of complacency, God, in the name
yes,
of Jesus, Lord. And I thank you for the
thank
fire,
you.
Lord, that you're igniting, that you're burning on the inside of her,
yes,
Lord.
God.
And I thank you for
yes,
your promises concerning her in her household, that you're going to do that what you say that you're going to do concerning
thank
her.
You,
Lord, we declare it so in Jesus' mighty name.
Thank you,
God.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Thank
amen.
You, Lord.
God wants you to continue to believe him and to trust him to do that because God had promised you some things. God had made a promise to you. And God wants you to write those things down that he had promised you. And even as he began
okay.
to bring them to pass, begin to check them off.
Yes.
One by one, begin to check them off.
Yes,
one by
Lord.
One because God is going to bring them to pass. Amen.
Yes, Lord. Amen. Praise God.
Amen.
I receive
amen.
In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. And glory to God.
And be encouraged.
Glory
amen.
To God. Praise the Lord, Apostle. If someone's
God
on
bless.
The line, you have noise in your background, can you please mute your phone? Thank you. Lord, just bless you, man of God, and bless you for your faithfulness and for your testimony. And I just mm-hmm. always say, in the midst of the pain, do we truly trust God? Are we truly going to continue to trust him and let him lead us and guide us? Because I know that I had to go from everything to nothing, and God is restoring glory to God. But I just like for you to pray
yes.
for me because, you know, I know that God had been spoke to me about walking in my healing, and that's the major part that the enemy tried to attack me in. And try to wear me out in that area. I've been having headaches and sinus pains in my face and my nose and my head for over a month. The doctor gave me some antibiotics. He said I had a sinus virus infection, but they did not work. So I was just like, okay, enemy, you will not wear me out with this because with something with your head, it's hard for me to focus. It's in. I was like,
right.
Oh, my God, I can't be taking these pills. And it got to the point where I had to take Tylenol 3. The pains were so severe. Just, you know, so I just like to touch and agree with me that that I continue to walk in my healing and believe God for total
mm-hmm.
restoration and do what he has directed me to do.
Yes.
Father, I agree with the woman of God, Lord. The saints of God, just begin to pray. Those of you that are listening, those of you tuning in, just begin to pray in agreement.
Yes.
We just believe God, Father, we thank you. We praise you, God,
thank
for complete healing, Lord, in the name of Jesus. But not only healing, Lord, I'm not speaking just a healing on tonight, God, but I'm speaking a wholeness. There's a difference between healing and wholeness. But I pray right now, we agree right now that you will make her whole, God. Everything that she
yeah.
has lost, everything that was taken away from her, whether in resources and things, everything, God, even in her physical body, God, we thank you for wholeness on tonight. We release it right now upon her in the name of Jesus, Lord. We thank you, Lord, for complete restoration, complete healing in her body. In the name of Jesus, we rebuke the spirit of infirmity. We rebuke every sickness in her body. We command it to loose her and to let her go in the name of Jesus. And we thank you, Lord God, for the angels with healing in their wings. And camp round about her, ministering healing.
Hallelujah.
Even on tonight, Lord, we thank you that by your stripes she is healed. Lord, in the name of
Jesus.
Father, I thank you, Lord God, that there's healing in her hands. And God, and I just say unto you, a woman of God, God wants you to exercise the gift that he's given you of healing, to pray for those that are sick. And even as you begin to pray for those that are sick and that are dealing with conditions and different things and ailments in their body, God's going to begin to rapidly begin to heal you. You're going to notice healing in your body. You're going to notice strength taking place in your physical body as you begin to pray for those that are dealing with illness and sicknesses and different things in their body. Watch and see God begin to work and begin to move on your behalf. Even as God is bringing forth healing into the lives of others, God's going to begin to do that concerning you. Amen. And even favor, even favor upon your life. In the name of, I even command even the finance, resource, things that have been held up to be loosed right now, in the name of money that is owed to you, money that is due to you, I command it to be loosed right now in the name of Jesus. And Lord, we thank you for it right now in Jesus' mighty name.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank God. Amen.
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 Amen. Praise the Lord, Apostle
Thank
Flowers.
You, Praise Hallelujah. God. God bless.
Thank you.
How are you?
Oh, blessed of the Lord. Good.
Praise
excited
God.
Excited to be.
This is Dora.
Oh, God bless
you. Yes, this is Dora, and I thank and I praise God for the message on tonight. You know, I haven't tuned in a while, but I thank and I praise God for the message of faith tonight, because I myself in the same situation where I done lost everything. I have to start completely over. And I thank the Lord and I give God praise, for I do know that when praises go up, the blessings come down. But what I wanted to say is that it is something when we don't do what God tells us to do, when we don't be obedient to the Lord, how it affects our family. How it affects us and our family, because we don't know what God may be trying to bring them out of. You know, I remember the Lord telling me to go somewhere, and I did not go. And today, my daughter is caught up in a relationship that is abusive, and she's afraid to leave on her own. So, it's not physical abuse, it's emotional and mental. And she wants to be out. She wants to come out, but she's afraid to make that move. And as I was praying for her, God let me know, you know, well, it's because of your disobedience. Because if I had went where God told me to go, then she would have followed me. So I have repented.
I have repented,
and I thank the Lord God for forgiveness. So my request is that you all will pray for my daughter. Her name is Kajana.
Okay, we're
pray
gonna pray
for her.
Amen. Amen. You heard the petition, saints. So we bring this petition before you, God. You heard it openly, Father, in the name of Jesus. We disagree in prayer on tonight. First, we ask that you would strengthen the woman of God, that you would encourage her heart, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Father, we thank you for her daughter. We thank you for her deliverance. We thank you for her salvation. We thank you for making a way out of no way. Father, we break right now in the name of the spirit of mind control over her. We break fear off of her in the name of Jesus. We thank you, Lord, for making a way of escape for her, Lord, and delivering her out of this relationship, deliver her out of this, God, in the name of Jesus, making a way of escape for her, Lord. We thank you for the angels of the Lord being dispatched right now, your warring angels we loose right now on her behalf to war concerning her right now, our daughter right now, in the name of Jesus. Father, we thank you for doing it, God. We thank you for a complete turnaround, God. We thank you, Lord, for moving on these prayers right now. In the name of Jesus, we thank you, Lord, for making haste to deliver her daughter speedily, oh God. In the name of Jesus, Lord, we thank you for our testimony. We thank you for our praise report. In the name of Jesus, God, we give you praise. And, Lord, we thank you, Lord God, for hearing and for answering prayer in Jesus' mighty name. And the Lord that begun a work in you, woman of God, he said he shall see that thing, you shall see it completed. God's going to do that completion that he has started within you. God said, be not dismayed. Be not cast down for the Lord. He said that I am with you. He said, be not discouraged. He said, for I am with you, for I am here to lift you up. I am here to lift you up. I am here to raise you up. God said that I have not forgotten you. God said, I'm strengthening you. I'm stretching even your faith. God said, this is going to be a testimony. Things that you've experienced, things that you've went through, God said, is going to be a testimony. This is all part of your ministry. This is all part of your making, God said. I'm making you. I'm molding you because I'm releasing an anointing upon you that's going to help break others free, other women, other young women, women in our relationship, women that have been through things. God said, I'm going to use you because you have a testimony as well. Things that you have been through in time past. And God said, I'm going to use you in that area to break others through, to minister healing unto those that have been mentally abused and physically abused. God said, I'm going to use you as a conduit to work through, to minister healing unto those in this situation. That God said, I'm going to use you that, yes, that there is a way out. God said, I'm going to use you to speak that there is a way out. In Jesus' name, we thank you for it right now, God. We thank you, Lord, concerning her finances, Lord. In the name of Jesus, we thank you, Lord God. In the name of Jesus, God said, be not weary in well-doing. He said, be not weary in well-doing. Continue to stand. Have it done all to stand. Stand anyhow. Stand anyway. For breakthrough is coming for you. Turnaround is coming for you.
Thank you, Lord. Lord, says the Lord.
Amen. The key is to praise your way out to praise God, to bless him. To praise him, to bless him. Amen.
Thank you, God. Amen.
Thank you. Amen.
Thank you, God.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
Hallelujah.
Praise you.
Jesus.
Hallelujah, Jesus.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you for the victory.
Hallelujah.
Jesus, thank you, Lord.
That's it. Spend your time praising him and not focusing on what's been going on. God said, just begin to bless him, begin to praise him.
Yes, Lord.
Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah.
For I have already made the way.
Yes, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
I've already made the way. God said, I've already made the way.
Thank you,
Lord. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you,
Lord.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Is there any more testimonies or prayer requests? We can come forth. Well, y'all just pray for, as we touch and agree, for a young man. His name is Nuki. He is so rebellious, and he don't do nothing but run around, run the streets, drink, and smoke cigarettes. So just pray for, keep him on y'all prayer list. His name is Nuki.
Nuki?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, Father, we agree right now in the name of Jesus. We thank you, Lord. Get a hold to this young man right now, God, in the name of Jesus. Holy Spirit, bring conviction. Minister to him, Lord, when he lay his head down, God, in his vision, in his dream, in his sleep, Lord. In the name of Jesus, Lord, you know how to get his attention, God. Begin to shake his world up, God. Lord, let him see that he needs you, and outside of you, God, that he cannot survive, he cannot make it, but he needs you, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Father, begin to draw him by your Spirit, because we know that no man come except the Father draws him. So, Father, we begin to draw him. By your Spirit, begin to show him your goodness, begin to show him your loving kindness, begin to let him begin to see your mercy, Lord, that which leads unto repentance, God, your goodness, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Lord, we thank you for it right now, God. We thank you for his salvation. We thank you, Lord, for his deliverance, God. We thank you, Lord, that he's going to be
a
testimony,
Jesus.
Lord. We thank you, Lord, that you're going to use him
for
your glory for the kingdom of God. We call it forth right now in the name of Jesus. Concerning this young man, Lord, we call forth his purpose, we call forth his destiny, we call forth that what you're calling for him to do, God, for him to begin to walk into it, God. Use those. They don't even know him, God, to speak to him the word of the Lord, something that would just blow his mind, God. They don't even know me. They telling me about my life, God. Use him to speak the word of the Lord into his life, God, in the name of the devil. He calls him, Lord God, to shift and to turn, other direction, God, to want to come your way. In Jesus' name.
Thank you, Jesus.
God,
yes,
amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Glory to God.
Amen.
Glory to
God. Thank you,
God. Glory to God.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord God. Well, at this moment, I would just like to cover you, man of God. So, Father God, in the mighty name of Jesus, I just plead the blood of Jesus over the apostle and his family and his ministry, God. I thank you that no weapon formed against him shall prosper. I pray, Lord God, that you restore everything in him that he had poured out for your people tonight, a double portion in the mighty name of Jesus. I thank you for restoration and increase in his life, spiritually and naturally, in the mighty name of Jesus, in his ministry, God, in the mighty name of Jesus, Lord God. I thank you for the spirit of wisdom and understanding and revelation that you have deposited in the man of God. I thank you that the eyes of his understanding is being opened even the more, Father God, in the mighty name of Jesus, Lord God.
In the name of Jesus.
Thank you,
Lord.
Thank you, Father God. I plead the blood over his home, over his bank account, all that concerns him, in the mighty name of
Jesus.
I thank you, Father God, for the warring angels, God, that's warring on his behalf, Lord God. I thank you, Lord God, that the angels are going before him and open, making every crooked place straight, Lord God, in the mighty name of Jesus, God. Thank you for the man of God. Thank you for his prophetess angel, his wife, and his children. Lord God, and the anointing that you have the power put on them, Lord God, in the mighty name of Jesus, God, continue to use them for your glory, Lord God, in the mighty name of Jesus. I don't know, say, new levels in you, God, as open even more, God, as they minister together, God, restoration for your people, God, healing for your people, God, deliverance for your people, God, set the captives free through them, Lord God, in the name of Jesus, Lord God, as they continue to humble themselves unto you, God, we thank you for supernatural increase, so we're walking in the supernatural things of God. I have not seen none of the most out there. What you're going to do through the man and woman of God and their children, Lord God, in the name of Jesus, Lord God, let them continue, Lord God, to be the lights in their classroom, Lord God, around other kids, Lord God. Let them draw them in, Lord God, without speaking a word, Lord God, but they will see your glory and your anointing on their lives, Father God, in the mighty name of Jesus, Lord God. I thank you for the guardian angels over his children, Father, in the name of Jesus, God. We praise you, Lord. We magnify you, glorify you, God. You're worthy of all the glory, all the honor, and all the praise, Lord God, in the name of Jesus. Glory to your matchless name, God. Glory, hallelujah, God.
Glory,
Lord. Thank you, God. And praise you, Lord. In the midst of the pain and not knowing, we praise you, God. And we trust you, God. And I thank you, Lord God. In Jesus' mighty name, I pray. Amen. And glory to God.
Thank you, Lord.
Glory to God.
We praise the name of
Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you,
Lord God. Thank you, Lord God.
Thank
you, Lord God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you,
Jesus.
Thank you, Father.
Thank you, Jesus.
Apostle, I yield the line to you. You can go on and close out.
Yes. Okay. Sure, I'd just like to encourage the people of God. You know, I was reminded of one of my pastors that's up. Under us, I ministered on the word about the stages and phases of faith. And that's what God brings his people through. We go through stages and we go through phases in our faith and in our walk with God. And I just want the people of God to be, you know, be encouraged because God is elevating you, taking you from one place to another because God has the best for you. He wants us to experience the best. He wants us to have the best, and he wants us to live life, you know, and to have it and to live it, you know, more abundantly, because that's what he came to do. And now it's time for us to be possessors of the land. But God wants us to have the mindset to be able to possess the land and be able to hold on to the land that we possess. And I want to say this. Sometimes, you know, some of us in time past have possessed our land, but we end up losing our land because we couldn't hold on to it because, again, we got lax, we got passive and so on and everything. So God, this time is getting us ready, making sure that we maintain and that we retain and that we hold on to what he has given us, not just only for ourselves, but to think on the things of others and to be a blessing to others. That's what God causes man to get wealth for, that so that he may establish his covenant with him as he did unto our fathers. That's what it's all about, God blessing us so that we can be a blessing to others and to those that are in need, and being sensitive to God's voice and to help further the kingdom of God, to help further the gospel. And that's why I encourage those of you to continue to support, amen, if you can financially, Kingdom Builders International, especially Kingdom Builders have been a blessing to you as well. This is the work of God. You're sowing a seed. You're doing something for where you can go, Kingdom Builders can go. And that's going to be accounted to your account for you because you were a part of that. And I just want to leave other people, God, with that. And, again, you can want to get in contact with me and know where we're going to be ministering at, because God has had my wife and myself in mobile, being mobile now. I'm traveling and ministering various places. So if you want to know where we're going to be at or anything like that, you can just call our church line and we'll, you know, let you know upcoming events and things that we're doing, because we do have some things coming up. And so that number again is 773-888-3356. God bless you. We love you. Thank God for you, Evangelist Hannah. Tell our prophetess Teresa, God bless her as well. You guys continue to keep up the good work. Continue to keep us in prayer. Amen. God bless.